Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, was giving us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, GodWordTheMan@gmail.com. That's GodsWrd, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, amen. This is another blessed day on this Sunday. My brother, Brother Robert Gross, will be joining me in a few minutes. I want to say today that we are starting a new series, and it has a whole lot of parts. I'm just going to say that. And this series overall is dealing with, for example, and I'm trying to find a, you know, and get it the right way to say unto you, the listener. But for example, you know, some of you may be wondering and say, well, if you all are worshiping as Christian, the same God, how come there are so many different churches? And that's a good question. And this whole thing, this work that the Lord is doing in his last days has been called and is called the work of restoring and restitution. And we're going from the beginning all the way up to this time and to the talking about of this work. So in the meantime, we will be talking about Christ setting up his church, and then it fell away, and we're going to go through things that happened that caused it to fall away. We're going to talk about that. Amen. We're going to talk about the things that God has done to get the restoring process going. Amen. Now, I know this is something new that, you know, some of you may have never heard before, but this is very important that you need to know, because many of you as Christians have been wondering, why is there so many churches? Now, I'm going to put my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. How are you?
Oh, blessing the Lord. Thank God for another blessed day, another golden opportunity to add another lump, another pain.
Amen.
To the devil. Thank God.
Amen.
For it. He has opened such a door for us, brother, to be able to dish the word that's going to dish
Amen.
You a whole lot of pain. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I was saying unto the people that we're starting on this new series, and it's going to have a lot of parts, and it's going to be broad. But understand this, it's going to be a good broad, because we're going to, the whole thing is dealing around the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, the work of restitution and restoration.
Amen.
And for us to explain this, we have to go back to the beginning. And so many of you are going to hear us, and throughout this, we want you to understand that we're not here to, quote, purposely offend anyone. But in this series, we're going to let you know some things that, to be honest with you, that God has not set up. And we might mention some churches, and I'm going to tell you like this. We're going to even mention the one we're in that thinks it's not going right. I just want to let you know and be honest with you. But I'm going to tell you this. Most definitely, we will be mentioning two of the biggest and richest churches on the face of this earth, and their doctrines and teachings, which is not of God. So I'm letting you know what you're going to hear throughout the whole series, okay? But we're not here to purposely offend you. If you are in a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal church, if you have received Christ as Lord, you're my brother, you're my sister. But however, I want to say unto you that Jesus, and you cannot find in the scriptures, set up the Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal churches. You can't. He set up his church. And we're gonna talk about that through the series. Now, my brother Robert has joined me. Thank God for him. Amen. Because we want to get all the firepower against the enemy. I just want to say today that this is something that Satan does not want us to give to you.
Amen.
I want to stress on that. Please hear this. And when you hear what we bring it to you, please take it to the Lord. We're not telling you you better accept it because we're saying it. You know, we want you to take it to the Lord. But I want you to know this. This is not something that Satan wants us to address. Period.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just letting you know this because this is not no cakewalk or no game plan. This is straight up serious. Because
Amen.
The devil does not want you to know such disarrayed and messed up we are in Christianity. And
Amen.
He does not want you to know what is God's perfect, I'm going to stress on that, perfect will for his people.
Amen.
He don't want you to know that. See, Satan does not want you to be in the perfect will of God, period. Okay? Amen. So, I'm going to let my brother open up with prayer, and we're going to get ready to start this series.
Amen. Holy Father, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
We come before your presence, O Lord God, with thanksgiving, honor, glory, blessing, and praise, O Lord God, and we invite you, Lord God, into this, Lord God, this teaching, Lord God, this admonishment, O Lord God, Father, this revealing of your word, O Lord God, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bless and sanctify your name, Lord Jesus. We ask that you give the people that's listening, hallelujah, to these words, that you give them, Lord
yes,
God,
Lord.
A mind to hear, ears to hear, a desire, Lord God, hallelujah, that you, hallelujah, plant the seed of your word in their heart,
yes,
O Lord God, as we speak, O Lord God. Bless them, Lord Jesus, with all spiritual blessings. Stir up, Lord Jesus, hallelujah,
Lord.
The question
hallelujah.
That they should have in themselves, O Lord God, concerning this world, concerning the churches, concerning the confusion of the enemy, O Lord God. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your
yes,
revealing
Lord.
Power. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. We ask you to loose the Holy Ghost in the heavenlies. Loose the
yes,
Holy
Lord,
Ghost,
Jesus.
O Lord God. Hallelujah, upon all those that's listening.
Hallelujah.
Loose the Holy Ghost
yes,
in the spirit and power of the Lamb, the knowledge, the light, the illumination, hallelujah, of
yes,
the gospel
Lord.
Of Christ, O Lord God. We come to present that gospel, the gospel
present.
Of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yes,
the gospel of the kingdom in Jesus
yes,
Christ's
Lord.
Name. Thank you, Father.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord
thank
Jesus.
You.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
And we bind the powers of the
hallelujah.
Adversary. We bind the powers of the demonic network of Satan. Hallelujah. We bind, Lord God, his hindering power, Lord Jesus, in your mighty name. We take power and authority over him. We take dominion over him in the name of Jesus
yes.
Christ. And over his works. In Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. And we bind
yes,
the powers of the adversary. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ's
yeah.
name. Thank you, Father.
Yes,
loose
Lord.
Your angels of warfare to do battle for us in the heavenlies, O Lord God.
Yes,
that these
Lord,
words
Jesus.
Go forth. Loose your angels, Lord God. In the name
yes,
of Jesus Christ to stand up
yes,
for your
Lord.
People, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the
hallelujah.
Lamb. Hallelujah. Let your word go forth, O Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your
hallelujah.
Word, O Lord God, of strength and power, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
no
Lord.
Weapons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
No weapons shall have any power. No weapons
no weapon.
Shall have any power. weapons of the enemy, the weapons of this world, the weapons of warlocks and witches, O Lord God, share power, Lord God, to prevent this word from going forth in Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God for the opening prayer. Tonight, we're going to begin this series, as I told you, once again, and I want to say, if you got pencil and piece of paper, get it, okay? And I don't say that to be arrogant, like we're the greatest teachers in the world. But we want you to get this. We want you to write it down. Hey, we want you to take it to the Lord. We're not trying to hide anything or trying to be mischievous or undermined. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about today, and this thing center around, remember, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days. You know, there are many people think that God is not doing anything. You know, they see stuff happening, and they always say, where is God? They see the condition that Christianity in, which is messed up, and they say, where is God? So you have some that think God is not doing anything. And you have others that think that the only thing we can look forward to is being caught up any day, any time. But here's the thing. The Lord is doing a work in these last days called the restitution and restoration. And in order for us to understand this, we need to go back to the beginning. And so what I'm going to do, the title of this message tonight is The Original Setup, the Church. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up, and I'm going to kind of give you a beginning concerning this work. And my brother is going to come behind me and show you about how Christ, his original setup of the church. Because in order for us to understand why this thing or things need to be restored, we got to understand what was lost, stolen, taken, what fell off. And so to understand that, you need to understand the original setup of Christ, okay? Now, I want to start off, and once again, when you hear us speak to you, hey, I want to tell you that your fingers are going to be doing some exercising, not just writing, but turning pages, because we're going to be giving you scriptures, okay? We're not going to be just up here just talking, okay? We're going to give you scriptures for you to look at. And so, starting this off, let us go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And once again, we're going to look at this. And like I said, my brother, as I open up and begin to define to you some of these words, my brother is going to come behind me, and he's going to go into the scriptures with you about how Christ originally, where he said he originally, how he originally set up his church for his people. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to look at, I'm going to read to you verse 10 and 11 in Matthew chapter 17. And the word of God says, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, I want you to understand, as the series go on, we're going to talk more on this. But I open this up with this because I want to define to you a little bit concerning the work of the Lord, okay? Now, we come to understand from what the scripture tells us here that this Elijah that Christ is talking about is none other than John the Baptist. And we also come to understand, and whenever you have on your own free time, you can read this whole 17th chapter yourself, you will also understand that Jesus talks about him doing the work, and here he was already dead. So therefore, we have been alerted that he is to return to do a work of restoring. And apparently, Amen. From what we understand, what Jesus said to this, that when he first came, he did not do a work of restoring. So on his return, he has to do a work of restoration or restoring. Now, I opened up with this because I want to deal with you on the word restore, because he's to come first and restore all things. Now, I want to define to you the word restore, okay? And I want to give it to you according to the Greek and according to Western, so we can put it together and get a better picture of this work of restoring. Now, according to the Greek, the original Greek word, and now many of you know, and some of you may not know, that the Bible was not originally written in English, okay? The Bible was written in Hebrew and in Greek. And if you have especially a King James Bible, you know King James translated, and there was others who translate the Bible. And so it was translated over into our language. Now, this is the thing about studying. Whenever you study, you got to always pray and invite the Holy Ghost. Because even though there, it was translated, sometimes some words are put in there that can be very misleading. So this is why you need the Holy Ghost in your study, that you may get a full understanding. But on the other end, too, not only do you have the Holy Ghost, but gives you some books of dictionaries and concordance, okay? So when we look at this word restoring here, the original Greek word for that means to reconstitute. To reconstitute in health, home, organization. It also means restore again, okay? So here he said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore or reconstitute in health, home, or organization. Now, what do you say? Well, what do you mean by reconstitute? Reconstitute means to constitute again or anew, especially to restore to a former condition by adding water. Okay? So in reconstitute means to constitute again. And it involves a restoring to a former condition by adding water. Well, since we're talking about this work of the Lord, this adding water would not be natural water. It would be the word of God, because the word of God is said to be like water. Amen? So amen. If we go a little deeper and you say, well, Brother Nate, you said to reconstitute means to constitute, then, Brother Nate, you got to tell me what constitute means, okay? Because you're telling me, yeah, the original Greek word means to reconstitute, and you telling me reconstitute means to constitute again. Well, you're going to have to tell me a step deeper to tell me what does it mean to constitute. Well, constitute means to set up or establish, to appoint to an office, function, or dignity. Did you get that? Okay. So Elijah is to come to restore all things or to reconstitute in health, home, or organization. Or in other words, he come to set up or establish something again. Did we get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, as we go a little deeper with restoring, I want to give you four more definitions. And the reason why I'm giving you this, because in this work, when we talk about this work, all this meaning is going to come into play when you're dealing with restoring. Now, restoring also means to give back or return. Restoring means to put or bring back into existence or use. Number three, restore means to bring back to or put back into a former or original state. And number four, the word restore means to put again in possession of something. Now, I want you to understand, okay, that these definitions that I read unto you, all of them going to come into play in the whole series, that we may understand the fullness of this work of restoring. Now, another thing we need to understand by restoring, in order for something to have to be restored, it either going to be lost, stolen, taken, or destroyed. For something to have to be restored, it's either lost, stolen, taken, or destroyed. Now, we understand from reading this verse here that as Elijah is to restore all things, okay? He is to set up and establish all things again, okay? Hallelujah. So the question we have is, what is dealing with the all things? Well, let's go to Mark chapter 8. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark
Thank
chapter
you,
8.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to look at verse 32 and verse 33 to talk about a little deeper the all things. What he is to restore all things. Okay? So there's things that Jesus said have to be restored. And if it had to be restored, what was involved, what caused it to have to be restored? It either was lost, stolen, taken, or destroyed. And it had to be restored. So what are the things that must be restored? Now, in verse 32, and this is after when Jesus had told him about how he would be crucified and he would rise on the third day. Verse 32, and he spake that saying openly and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So since Elijah is sent by Jesus to restore all things, that means that he is restoring the things that be of God. Amen? He's not restoring the things that be of men. He's to restore. When he said he's to restore all things, we're like, okay, what is the things dealing with? Well, we know it's the things that be of God. Okay? Not things that be of man. Because we see right here that Jesus said, he told the devil, he said, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So there are some things that are of God, and there are some things that be of men. And since Elijah is sent by Jesus and not by man, okay, because if he was sent by man, then he'd be, quote, restoring the things that be of men. But see, since he's sent by God, he's going to be restoring the things that what? That be of God. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's walk a little bit more into this. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 19 to verse 21. Our key verse is going to be verse 21, okay? The book of Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to verse 21. Glory to God. And the word of God says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, there's the word I want to look at is restitution. Okay? Restitution. The original Greek word for the word restitution means reconstitution. Now you say, well, wait a minute, that kind of sound for me. What does that sound like? Well, it sounds like the same, almost same Greek word as restore. Okay? This one is reconstitution. Okay? Which is the act of reconstituting. So with restoring and restitution, they're almost close interchangeably, but there's a difference in them, okay? But they're used sometimes. You see restoring, you see restitution. So they are, in some instances, they're interchangeable words, but then let me give you another definition of restitution. Restitution means an act of restoring or a condition of being restored as restoration of something to its rightful owner. Do you get that? So the restitution involves restoring, okay? It involves that. Hallelujah. And that's why throughout the series you will hear us mention the restitution and restoration of all things. It involves restoration of something to its rightful owner. It also involves a making good or of a giving an equivalent for some injury, okay?
Amen.
It's the making, it's make. Listen, this and this thing, we're going from, you know, this. There's a side of the restoring that is a negative side, okay? There's a positive and there's a negative, okay? When you look at the negative side, okay, and dealing with, hey, you put out bad, you get bad coming back, okay? But
we're dealing with something else of this thing now. Okay. So, in this same verse, now once again, restitution, the original Greek word is reconstitution. And like I said, the Greek word, they differ a little bit between restitution and restoring, which they're close and almost interchangeable in some instances, but their difference is that the restitution involves a restoration to its rightful owner. Now, in that verse here, we notice something in verse 21. It said that which God, when he talks about the heaven must receive Christ until a particular time, till this restitution of all things, which involves also what? The restoring. And he said, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, when you see that part of the verse there, when it says that which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, one of the things that it's doing, it is pointing you to the Old Testament. Now, you say, well, why do you say that? Because that's the recorder of the Old Testament prophets, your Isaiahs and your Daniels and Ezekiel. So, therefore, God, and this is for those of you, and I'm not trying to be funny, that whenever we start from the Old Testament, you get upset, we ain't the Old Testament, we're a New Testament church, and you got, wait a minute, you can't throw the whole Old Testament away. You can't throw it away. Because God gave those prophets things that's dealing with today. He revealed to them about this work of restoring, this work of restitution. So having said that, I want to go to one more place, and then I'm going to turn it over to my brother. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going to mention a little on this because, once again, as we go through this series, we're going to be talking more about this part in Daniel, okay? But I'm trying to get a start off here so you can understand this is what this whole thing is dealing about, what we're going to be dealing with. It's centered around the work of restoration, restitution, and restoration of all things, okay? This is what the whole thing is centered around, okay? Daniel chapter 2. Now, remember the Bible mentions that we looked in Matthew 17 that Elijah is to restore all things, and we taught that all things got to be the things to be of God. And then we saw in Acts 3 where Peter let us know that there got to be a restitution of all things, okay? So here's one of the things that it is dealing with here. In Daniel chapter 2, now many of you may have read this, the story about King Nebuchadnezzar, that God gave him a dream, okay? And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, Daniel is talking to the King Nebuchadnezzar as God used him to interpret, to give the interpretation of the dream he had. And he said in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and make it known to the King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the, get this, latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, which shall come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. So God gave the king this dream concerning what? The end time. Oh, that's amazing, ain't it? Our God just, he showed him something about the end time, okay? Now, we stand in that same second chapter, and let's look at verse 44. Now, and when you get a chance, read the second chapter for yourself. But God showed him a dream and about the rising of these different kingdoms and how they would conquer one another and replace one another. But he was showing them about the rising of it, especially in the last days. But in verse 44, he said, and in the days of these kings, now he's shown four different kingdoms, okay, and how they arise. Now remember, this is something he's shown him about what? The latter days. Whenever we mention the latter days, it is nothing more but another term for the last days or the end time, okay? And so therefore, in verse 44, he said, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, do you see that? Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom? Uh-oh. shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So according to what God showed Nebuchadnezzar, in the last days, which what we're living in now, God is going to set up a kingdom. Now, you would say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus already did that when he first came. Well, remember, let's go back to the word, think about the word restoring. That means something happened. In order for God to have to restore the kingdom in the last days, something happened to it. Do you get that? This is the restoring of all things, the restitution of all things that got to happen. This is in the all things package. That there has to be, the kingdom of God has to be set up or established again in these last days. Now, I'm going to end it off with this. He mentions the God of heaven should set up a kingdom. Okay? Now, think about it. What makes a kingdom? Five things make a kingdom. Number one, you got to have a king. Okay? You got to have a king.
Amen.
To make up a kingdom. You got to have a king. Number two, you got to have people. Okay? You got to have people. Number three, the domain or the place or the area where this kingdom got to be, you got to have that. Number four, you got to have officers. And number five, you got to have laws. That will constitute a kingdom. So now my brother's going to come in and give you the word of God on that, and dealing with the original setup, how Christ set up his church, how Christ set up the kingdom. And this is involved in the kingdom process, the people that Christ has set up. And in dealing with that setup too, we'll be all talking about, we're not going to get all this in one day on that. We're going to talk about how not only he set up his church, but set up what kind of people was to be members in this kingdom. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Blessed be the Lamb. Father, open eyes, ears, minds of your people, Lord Jesus. Give
yes,
them
Lord.
Understanding, light, and illumination in Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for your word. Hallelujah.
You.
Reveal your word, O Holy Ghost.
Reveal your word.
Hallelujah. Reveal your word. Reveal the word of God in Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. This is such a time, okay, that we're living in, this time where there are so many churches, where there are so many people proclaiming that they are the ones. When this time of many antichrists, this time, hallelujah, hallelujah, when much confusion and derision is in the world. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb. Do you believe that the Lord God, that he had a design, that when he built his church, he had a design? Do you believe that when he set his design up, that he wanted it to be that way? Okay?
Amen.
And that only he could add to it as he saw fit, okay?
Amen.
Not as we see fit, but as he saw fit, okay? And we see when Brother Paul came into the church and he stopped persecuting the church, he became a powerful person of revelation, okay?
Amen.
He had great revelation. Paul came when he came to church, okay? Peter had great revelation. John had great revelation, okay?
Amen.
Whenever the revelation is introduced into the body of Christ, people get disturbed, okay?
Right. Amen.
And they get upset because that means that you're going to have to move in a spiritual realm that God wants you to move in, okay? And a lot of us are not, we get set in our ways, okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. How many believe that Jesus Christ set up his church the way he wanted to set up his church, and then he added to it as he wanted to add to it, okay? He,
Amen.
And all the things that God added to the church, Jesus Christ himself added to it. Okay? Well, that's what we're talking about, okay? We're
Amen.
Talking about original. What was the original? And then compare it to yourself, or compare it to your church,
yeah,
or compare it to your religion, or compare it to whatever you want to compare it to, compare it to false religions, and see how they are lacking, okay? And you may see that some people have a lot of this stuff, and then some people don't have none of this stuff, none of the gospel,
yeah,
okay? They're not set up on none of the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? They just coming to church and they worshiping something they know not.
Amen.
Well, if you not built upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay, which is the power of God to, hallelujah, to everyone that believe it, if you not built upon that, then you're not built upon what Jesus Christ originally designed, okay? And he has a design, okay? Because if you go from the first book of Genesis, the first chapter, who created the heavens and earth?
Amen.
God created the heavens and earth, right?
Amen.
He designed everything. He designed everything, didn't he? Huh?
Yes, he did.
So he
Hallelujah.
Was the great architect. So God is the great architect, right?
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Did he ask the help of any man? Huh?
Oh no!
You remember when he asked Job, he asked Job. He said, "Where were you when I created? Where were you? Where were you? Because you didn't have a hand in this, right? The Lord created. Because
yeah,
you have to understand, the Lord is God and He is King. What does a king do? A king sets rules. Hallelujah." He designs things. He set up things, okay? And he builds things, okay? That's what a king does, okay? So the structure of the church, okay, first came how? What's the first thing that God did to set up his church? What's the first thing he did? Do you know? Who was the first one that he called? Who was the first
Paul
servant that he called to represent him? Huh?
Amen.
You just heard
Paul.
His name a little while ago, John the Baptist.
Yeah, John the Baptist.
Okay. John the Baptist was the first one that he used to set up his church. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist was born with the Holy Ghost from his mother's
Amen.
Womb. Right?
Amen.
Where we get that? We get that in Luke, the first chapter. Luke, the second chapter, okay? Why did the Lord send John the Baptist first? Because Jesus is a king.
Amen.
And he had a servant come before him to set up things, okay?
Amen.
And what did he do? He said, well, John the Baptist had to be born, so he sent John the Baptist to a woman that was barren. Elizabeth
Amen.
Was barren, you? Was Elizabeth barren? Yes, she was.
Amen.
And the Lord said, we're going to go to this, okay? We're going to go to the first chapter of Luke. And we're going to read what happened at first, okay? Because we got to lay a foundation for you, okay? You know, we're big on foundation, okay?
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Go to the first and the eighth verse.
Luke chapter 1.
Yeah.
Start
Actually,
first and eighth
go
verse.
To seven verse. Go to seven verse. Start at seven.
Okay, we go verse 1 to verse 7. Everyone listen, we're in Luke chapter 1. Verse 1 to verse 7, the word of God said, For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the
is
word.
Luke 1?
Yeah, Luke chapter 1. Yeah. Yeah, Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 7.
Okay. Okay, read on.
Okay.
It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both were now well stricken in years.
You don't, brother.
And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Okay, brother.
And okay.
Okay. Now, see, did you get to catch that 16th verse? The 15th verse? Okay.
Amen.
He's going to be born with the Holy Ghost, okay, from his mother's womb, okay? 16th verse. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. 17th verse. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Okay?
Amen.
To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that is John's work, okay? Now,
amen.
I'm going to tell you something. That's not only John's work in the past. That's also John's work in the future. Okay?
Amen.
What was the Lord saying when he said that? And a lot of people, they get turned completely around when he says that. It's, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of the Elias. You talking about Elijah's power? He's gonna be turned to him in the spirit of what? He's gonna turn by the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Amen.
Do you know what the spirit and power of Elias mean? Do you know what the word Elias mean? It means of God and not of man. That's
Amen.
What that word means. Okay? So when he said the spirit and power of Elias, it's talking about the spirit and power of God. It's not talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist himself, he's just a servant. Okay?
Amen.
He's just a servant that God sent before him to prepare the way before the Lord. And he said, and then if you go to another verse, okay, we'll go to 73?
First chapter of Luke.
Yes.
Okay, verse 73 to 78.
Okay. 73
okay,
to 78.
The word of God. In Luke chapter 1, it says, "The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest, but thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel.
Now this was just the first part of John's work, okay? It's his first part.
Amen.
He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, okay? Prepare the way of the Lord. His work was to baptize people and to bring them to Christ, okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he said, what did John say? John said, I baptize you with water, but there's coming
Amen.
One after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the, what? With the Holy Ghost and that with fire.
Amen.
And he was setting up, he set up for Christ, okay? So John was a setup man for the Christ, okay? Now, this is the original plan of Christ, okay, of God. This is the original plan we're telling you about, okay? Okay, we're talking about we ain't giving no glory to John, okay?
Amen.
We ain't giving no honor to John. John is an honorable, he's an honorable person because he's obedient to Christ.
Amen.
But we serve Christ. Christ is the one that we serve, okay? But you got to understand that these things are written in the Word admonition, okay, to admonish us, okay, so to encourage us, hallelujah, to bring
Amen.
Us to what? All these things are written for us, for our sakes. And all these things were put in the Scripture so that we could understand. The
Amen.
Devil don't want things to be known. The devil don't want you to understand that God has a design. He has an exact design that he had in mind. This is what I'm going to do. Okay? I'm going to send my messenger, okay, John the Baptist, and he's going to be called the Elias, okay? And he's going to be called, he's got many titles, okay? Because
Amen.
He got many titles because he got many things to do, okay? In some places he called the branch, okay, but we're going to get through that to that later, okay? But in some places he's called what? The Ancient of Days.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people say the Ancient of Days is Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the Ancient of Days. Jesus is always, he's God. If he's the Ancient of Days, how could he be, you know? But he's the Ancient of Days. I mean, he's not the Ancient of Days. John the Baptist was the Ancient of Days, okay? And it goes so far, his work is so important that he does, that his work is talked about in Daniel, okay? The seventh chapter,
Amen.
Okay? About the Ancient of Days, okay? And his work, okay? Now, a lot of churches already set up their own minds and their own hearts, okay? And they already said,
yeah.
Well, we don't believe that. We just believe John the Baptist got his head cut off. And that's it. But that ain't the end of the thing, because John the Baptist died before Jesus Christ was crucified, right?
Right.
That means that if he died before Jesus Christ, hallelujah, before Jesus Christ died, that he would get up with the other saints that died, okay? And
Amen.
That's what the Scripture says. That's what it says
right.
in the 28th chapter of Matthew, okay, if you read it, okay? That's what it says there, okay? And so if we believe what the words say, okay, but men always dispute these words and say, no, that didn't happen. The saints didn't get up. No, nobody was resurrected but Jesus Christ. And those people are still in the grave. Well,
Amen.
The Bible must be lying, okay, when it said that those many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Huh? Hallelujah. Ain't that what the Scripture says?
Amen.
And they appeared to many. Huh?
Amen.
People testified that these people that was dead came forth after the resurrection of Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Okay. Now this these are things that actually happen. Okay. Now churches have set up what they want to believe, and they don't believe the whole counsel of God. They don't believe the fullness of the gospel. But if you take any of these things out of here, you're taking away the fullness of the gospel.
Amen.
You understand that? And if you say you don't believe that John the Baptist is coming again, okay, then you have taken away from the fullness of the gospel. Because Jesus Christ
Amen.
Said he had to come, okay? Okay? But we,
Amen.
Because we read over the scripture, we don't ask God nothing. We just form our own opinions, and we make our own, we write our stuff, and we say, oh, we don't even say this is what I think. We just say, no, this didn't happen. This happened
yeah.
here. And we state things, okay, and we try to confirm things in the minds of men because that's what we believe. But the Lord says, many as are led by my spirit, they are the sons of God. Where did it say that at? Said that many places, okay? But the first place it said
Amen.
That was in the first book of John. I mean, the first chapter of John. It says that, okay, that you are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, and then you his sons if you led by his Spirit. Right? Well, a lot of people ain't led by the Spirit of God, and they don't believe in the things of God. What is that design? And who built it? Jesus built it. Did it continue on? Did the Church of Christ continue on after it was destroyed? Well, we're going to go through all of that, okay? But the church
Amen.
Was actually destroyed, okay? And the Lord made that promise in Daniel. What did he say in Daniel? He said in Daniel, the second chapter, that a kingdom, he's going to build a kingdom in the latter days that shall never be destroyed. Okay?
Amen.
He didn't make that promise to them. He didn't tell them that they wouldn't be stamped out. But they were stamped out, right?
Amen.
The first Church of Christ was stamped out. Okay? So the first Church of Christ, the first church that Jesus Christ set up, if that church was stamped out, it was totally just smashed to bits under the feet of the Roman Empire, okay? And we talked about
Amen.
The Roman Empire, and okay, the Roman Empire did this, okay? The Roman emperors did this, okay? And that same Roman Empire represent a different power now, okay?
Amen.
Did that church continue? Did the Church of Christ continue on until now? Well, a lot of people don't know the difference. But that difference might kill you. Because you cannot stand the only part of the gospel that you got to stand on, you know, that part that you believe in, okay, that part that's been made available to you, okay, by men, that's not enough. Jesus Christ said that you must follow his word. You must follow him, okay? Now, let's go to something. We're gonna go to something that's very controversial, okay, right here. So just set yourselves, okay, for this, okay? At the 16th chapter of Matthew.
Matthew chapter 16. Glory to God.
And you may not believe this, okay? But this is what the Word of God says, okay? This is what Jesus said himself said, okay? And so we're not telling you any untruth, okay? If you don't understand how important this is, but you will, okay? When we get through this whole thing, you're gonna understand it halfway through. Okay, if you are attentive and open your ears, open your eyes, okay, to these, and we're going to start at the 16th chapter, starting at the first verse, okay?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 1. The word of God says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?
Okay.
Then understood they how. Okay.
Okay. Now the Lord is saying something to them. Okay, about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, and what is he saying? He's telling them to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why did he say that? Because people are always going after that which is the people of God is always going after things, okay? They hear something and they go after it. They get itching ears, okay? And they run after something. As soon as they hear something, they go run after it, they run after this, and they trying to find a religion that fit their flesh, okay? That's where all these religions come from. Partially, okay, because people are always trying to find a religion that fits their flesh, okay? They're always trying to find the doctrine of man that fits their flesh, okay? When Jesus told them, he said, do not follow after their doctrine. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What's leaven? Do you know what leaven is? Leaven is something like baking soda, okay? When you put it in your cornbread or when you put it in your bread, your dough, it makes it rise, okay?
Yeah.
That's what leaven is, okay? Why is leaven? A leaven is a deceiver. Why? Because it makes you look like something there that is not, okay? It just makes
right.
it rise. But it looks like it's more there than it's not. Okay, it said, "Beware of the doctrine of the," and the Lord is telling you that for a certain reason. Okay, because He knew that things was going to happen. Certain things. And now let's go to the 15th verse of that same chapter.
15th verse.
Yes.
Okay. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Then charge he
Amen.
His disciples. Okay.
Amen. So when Jesus asked this question, he asked him, Who do men say that I am? And Peter, he gave the correct answer, okay? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? Jesus
Amen.
Answered and said to him, Now, you got to understand how to rightly divide the Word of God. How do you rightly divide the Word of God, okay? By with understanding, with light, with illumination, okay? And sometimes with a little common sense, okay? Sometimes with a little common sense. Blessed art thou, Simon, by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay? So that's settled, right?
Amen.
What Peter, that's settled. And then the 18th verse says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. That's where that ends, right there. Thou art Peter.
Amen.
What is Peter? Well, translated, what does the word Peter mean? The name Peter. It means small stone. It don't mean rock, okay?
Amen.
And then Jesus went on to say, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? What rock is he talking about? Is he talking about Peter?
No.
Is he talking about a man? Is he talking about any man? Did Jesus ever say that he was building his church upon a man?
Oh, no.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about himself upon this rock, upon the rock of that word. That what rock? The rock, thou art Simon by Jonah, flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee. Peter said, thou art the Son, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he said in 16th verse. That's the rock right there. Thou art the Christ,
amen,
the Son of the living God. That's the rock, okay?
Amen.
A lot of people get confused. They think Jesus is talking about Peter in this fashion. How could you build a church upon a man? And Jesus Christ said he was the only one that could come and die for mankind. But he's going to build his church upon a man. Don't be ridiculous, okay?
Yeah.
He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church did not, the gates of hell did not prevail against God's church, okay? Why did I say that? Even though it was wiped out, the gates of hell did not prevail against God's church because they overcame by the power of the blood according to the 12th chapter of Revelation, okay? They overcame him by the power of the blood and by their testimony because they loved not their lives unto death. Hallelujah. That's what the Word of God says, okay? So
Amen. When
you're talking about these keys, okay, and people saying keys was given to Peter, okay? Keys was given to Peter, but not only to Peter, but to the whole body of Christ, okay, to the apostles, other apostles also, okay? What was those keys? What serve you? You have to go on and read the rest of this. And says, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This is 19th verse. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What is that talking about? Is that talking about that I have the power of salvation? Do I have the power of salvation? That Peter had a power of salvation? Huh? Is that the keys? Well,
wow.
Some people think those keys was the power of death and hell. Why would God give give a man the power of life of hell and death? Why would God do that? God would not do that, okay? Jesus would not do that, okay? Because he went down to the lower parts, okay? And Revelation tell you that what? He took the keys of death and hell. Jesus
Amen.
Took the keys of death and hell from the devil, okay? Why he going to put them in the hands of a man? Huh?
Amen.
He did all that dying, all that resurrection, so he could take the keys and say, hey, here, Keith, here, Peter, take those. you're gonna be the gatekeeper. And a lot of people think Peter is the gatekeeper, but these are traditions of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
That's what they believe. That's what the Catholic Church believes. They believe that Peter has the keys, okay, and that he's the successor of Christ. He ain't no successor of Christ. Not in that
Amen.
Way. Where he becomes the next, because they think that Peter was, they're saying that Peter was a pope. And Peter was
yeah.
not a pope. Okay? That's a lie.
Amen.
Okay, and then the other lie is that Peter has the keys. He has the keys of death and hell, and he doesn't. And if you ever seen this little flag of the Catholic Church or the Vatican, what do you see on there? You see the two keys, right?
Right.
The two keys on that flag. Because that means that he has the power of death and hell. That would be something for God to give a man that, wouldn't it?
Amen, yeah.
But God would not give a person that, okay? Because Jesus Christ had to die in order to take those keys back from death, from the devil, okay? And remember I was telling you about dominion? Well, you got to understand about dominion, that we gave Satan dominion in the earth, okay? From the beginning, okay, of Genesis, you know, the second chapter, we gave Satan what? We gave him dominion over us. We gave him dominion over the earth, okay? And this is why we're having such a hard time. Because he actually said, devil, come and rule over us.
Amen.
Exactly what we said. Okay, we didn't say it with our mouth, but we said, Satan, we're giving you power to rule over us. And whatever happens, happens, okay? And so we gave Satan power to rule over us, okay? And so Satan has dominion in all the earth, okay? But Jesus came.
Amen.
To what? He came to, just like he took those keys of death and hell from Satan, he came to give his people dominion over Satan, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Do you believe that? That Jesus came, that's the original design of Jesus, is that we should have dominion over Satan. That whatsoever
Amen.
We bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven, okay? We have power to bind Satan. Glory to the Lamb. A lot of people don't believe in deliverance. But that's one of the powers of the gospel, okay? To cast out devils. Jesus Christ said
Amen.
Before he left in three of the gospels, he said, I give you power to do what? To tread upon the enemy. I give you power to do what?
Tread on serpents and scorpions.
Yes.
Amen.
And so he gives us power to heal the sick. Hallelujah. Like Jesus Christ said in the fourth chapter of Luke. He came to set the captives free, right? He said,
Amen.
I came. I come. And when Jesus said that, do you know that they turned against Jesus?
Amen.
That they want to pick up stones to stone Jesus because he said, I am he. Most churches don't believe that Jesus is he now. You know that?
Yeah.
And so at this time, we'll lay down a foundation here for you to understand where we're coming from, okay, because we're coming straight from the scriptures. We're coming straight from the scriptures, okay? We ain't talking about our opinions. Because our opinions don't matter. But we're talking about
Amen.
That which is written in the Word of God, that which you are supposed to be founded upon, which is the rock, okay? Okay? That's what we're supposed to believe on. We're supposed to believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, and that he is the Son of the living God, and that he is the only one that we're supposed to follow. But we're following after everything, that the body of Christ is following after everything that comes down the pike. Anything that comes down there, we say, yes, 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 that's good. They don't care how stupid it is, how silly it is, they'll follow after anything. But if you try to give them any kind of sound doctrine, and this is sound doctrine right here, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God, that's sound doctrine. But we don't believe sound doctrine. What do we believe in? We believe, let's set up our church and we're going to have a good time. We're gonna set up our choir here, and we're going to dance and sing, and that's all that's what most churches believe in. They believe in we're not going to make any waves. We got a love gospel. They believe in the love gospel. Okay? Don't preach anything about hell. Don't preach anything about where you're going to go after you die. Okay? Don't preach anything about repentance, about your sins, about salvation. Don't preach that. Don't tell people that they're going to be lost if they die in their sins. That's what the devil don't want the true gospel of Christ, the fullness of the gospel to go out. Jesus Christ said, if you die in your sins and you get up in your sins, you're going to hell. That's what the word of God says, okay?
Amen.
But we don't believe in the word of God, okay? But this is the first part of it, okay? Now, what is the three things or the two things, okay, that we just said? That Peter is not the rock, okay? Get it? Have you got
Amen.
That? Peter is not the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. That's the one you're supposed to
Amen.
Be built upon. And what the doctrines that he gave to you, that's what you're supposed to be built upon, not what Peter said, okay? Because Peter ain't nothing built upon Peter's name, okay? Because Peter,
Amen.
The name Peter is translated little stone, okay? That's the three things that you get out of there, okay? And that Peter does not have the keys of death and hell. And if he had the keys of death and hell, he passed it down to the Catholic Church. He gave it to them, okay? And he instituted this man of sin, okay? He did this. Jesus did this himself, okay? Peter did this, okay? He set up this church, and Peter didn't do that, okay?
Amen.
Did you get that? Okay? Peter died. How did Peter die? Peter died a martyr.
Amen.
He was crucified upside down, okay? So Peter was not in the same boat as Catholicism is saying that he's in, okay? He's not in that, okay? And Peter stands, hallelujah, as one of the apostles, okay? He's one of the true apostles of Christ, okay? And he never was a Roman Catholic, okay? Because it wasn't a Catholicism at that time, okay? Praise the Lord. So we settled
Amen.
That. We got that settled, okay? Okay, now that's one of the things, that's one of the false doctrines that's going around, okay? And it's been around for many years. But people still say they swallow that lie, hook, line, and sinker, okay?
Amen.
And some people get very angry and violent because of that, okay? Because of these words, okay? But Jesus Christ says, What did the word say? The same word that I just gave you. Read that 15th verse, that 16th verse, the 17th verse, 18th verse, and 19th verse. Read it over and over again, okay? And ask the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not true? The things that I said about that, okay? Hallelujah. Glory
Amen.
To the Lamb. Hallelujah. We're trying to lay a foundation here, okay? A spiritual foundation of the God's word, okay? So that you can follow it, okay? Just follow it and ask God, is it true? How easy can that be? I mean, that's not hard. How hard can that be, okay? To just say, Lord Jesus, is these words true? Give me testimony that these words are true. And then he will. Okay, now I'm going to give it back to my brother. I hope I didn't go over too much.
Hey, well,
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, that's all right. We're going to, for those of you listening, we'll have a part two to this, the original the setup, the church part two. We will get more into the scripture, as my brother alluded to and started off in Matthew 16. And Matthew 16 chapter, where he went to the verses there and how Jesus said that, you know, upon this rock I will build my church. And so we're going to have part two on Tuesday. Amen. Like I said, we're not rushing through this. We want you to get it. If you got pencil and paper, hey, write it down. Okay, write it down. We want you to
Amen.
Write it down. We want you to take it to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that is Matthew chapter 16, and we started verse 15 to verse 19. And before that, I think you went from in Matthew 16 started at verse 1. I think this was, verse 1 to verse 11. So that's Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 11, and then verses 15 to verse 19. Amen. And my brother had laid down the foundation, and we're going to continue on this part two. Amen. The original setup, the church, and we're going to continue to look in the scriptures, how Christ lets you know that he set up the church. And we're going to talk about also in dealing with the set of the church, he also set up who would be in the church. Okay? You know,
amen.
Amen. You know, we're going to look at that because we notice here in the verse 18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And so we're going to look at what's the meaning of the word church. What
Amen.
Does it mean in the Greek? What does it mean? Because, and the reason why I said, get ready to close with this, why are we going to do that? Because when you define what it means, it tells you what people is to be members of this kingdom.
Amen.
See, many churches, you know, they're just grabbing at anybody. You can be a drunkard, not even studying Jesus. Hey, we'll make you a member. Because we find out not only you're a drunkard, but you got a bunch of money on you. You can be a fornicator. You can be an adulterer. You can be all of that. And we think that when you die, you automatically going to heaven because you know just about every funeral you're going to, everybody's going to heaven. Even the same one that you try to testify to about Christ who cussed you out and called you every kind of name and then of his free will said, I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. He's in heaven. Amen. So as my brother gives the scriptures, as we come with part two, and to show you what Jesus, in dealing with, he already showed you in one spot here, Matthew 16, where Jesus said he would build his church. We're going to look at that. We also going to look at who Jesus is telling us that's going to be the members. What kind of people are you? I mean, it describes them, amen? So praise be to God. Brother, it's been another blessed broadcast. Thank God for this opening, amen. Thank God for all you've been listening. And, brother, if you would, offer a closing prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we bless and sanctify your name and give you honor, praise, and glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, because you are the one that give knowledge, understanding, light, and illumination by your Holy Ghost, O Lord God. And, O Lord God, we ask that your Holy Ghost reign over the minds, hearts, and spirits of the people, Lord Jesus, Father, and give them understanding, give them light, give them illumination, O Lord God. Cause them to search the scriptures, O Lord God, that they may know, Lord God, that you are the only way, that you are the only truth, that you are the only life, Lord God, that you are the light of the world, and that there is none other, Lord God, save you, Lord God, in all the earth, O Lord Jesus. And that you are the only, hallelujah, way to salvation, O Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, hallelujah, awaken your people, Lord God, to the word, to the sound doctrine, to the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Once again, thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, Brother Emmanuel Murphy will come on tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. And then my brother and I, we will be back, Lord say, the same Tuesday at 7 o'clock with the original setup at Church Part 2. So we're going to climb in a little bit deeper and look at how Jesus said he set up the church. We're going to look at that. That's including the ministry. Amen. So once again, we thank God for all you've been listening. As for Brother Robert Gross, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you all. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Brother.
God bless you.
Change me, oh God. Make me more.